What's up and welcome back to another episode of The Movie Newbie. I'm your host, Jabrinus Kami, and joining me virtually for, I don't know actually, back again virtually, let's say it that way. We have Raf and Ollie joining us. Raf, and I'd say like 100% connection. Ollie, I think his connection is not doing too well, so there might be a little bit of a lag.
Look, there's probably a reason why we don't do this anymore, and the reason is because it took us, I think, 45 minutes to get recording on this episode because we were like, wait, what's remote record? What do we do?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Ollie, unfortunately, was, for some reason, having the most struggle of all.
Yeah, the internet gods were not looking down kindly on me today.
You did not pray enough this morning,
no.
Ollie.
No. But yeah. Knock on wood, it's working at the moment, right?
The show.
We seem to be in the clear.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although
I think so.
It's trepidatious to say the least that this episode might just implode and it might never air, and then we might just quit the Movie Newbie. I think we're at this point. Our nerves are now like, do we carry on? At what cost? At what cost?
Yeah. This podcast. That's the cost.
That is the cost.
Yeah. That is. So anyways, today we're talking about the second film in the AI sci-fi theme. And for this one, we're going with another James Cameron. Also, I realized in the bonus episode, I said David Cameron is the director. It's not David Cameron. It's James
Cameron.
That
is someone else that we do not like.
Both are two dudes that I'm not a fan of. And today we're talking about The Terminator, the first one. With man like Arnold Schwarzenegger and many others like
Linda Hamilton. Yeah.
Michael Bean?
Bean? I want to say Bean.
Paul Winfield?
I want to say Bean.
Bean? Yeah.
I want to say Bean.
Yeah. This is a 1984 film, and you can definitely tell this film is from 1984. Let's put it that way. But if you don't know about The Terminator or the whole franchise / universe... have you been living under a rock? Because this is like one of the biggest action universes ever. I guess it kickstarted the whole action, like big action kind of thing. I don't know. Would you say that? Maybe this and like Die Hard and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, definitely for the 80s, it definitely launched a whole new wave of not just action, but at least for Terminator sci-fi, you know, kind of reinventing the genre of sci-fi. And in your theme, AI.
Yeah, and it's a completely different kind of AI in comparison to the AI we had in 2001 Space Odyssey. Completely different. A lot more, well, I guess this would be like a cyborg, so like they're half human, half robot on the inside. But yeah, Ollie, initial thoughts.
Yeah, so actually, this was my first time watching this movie. Of course, I've seen T2, I've seen plenty of the sequels, I'm very familiar with the IP universe, but I, for whatever reason, never sat down and watched The Terminator, the original one, so I was quite excited to get to this. And you have to say, I really enjoyed it. You said it was like very clearly from 1984. This might be the most 1984 movie ever made, but I think in a good way. I think like... it does drag a little bit in the last half an hour, but apart from that, I feel like the setup mainly, I feel like the script should be taught in screenwriting classes if it's not. It's so economical. The cutting is so good. I love how they introduce you to this world and establish the setup. I just think it's really tight and really well wound. And another thing I really loved about this film, aside from all of the kick-ass action and world building and some of the performances too, was the fact that even though this is a sci-fi film, it's not really a sci-fi film. It's actually kind of a slasher film, but in dressed up as a sci-fi film. And I think that's a big reason why it works.
Yeah.
The Terminator is basically Michael Myers from Halloween, right?
Word.
And Linda Hamilton is the final girl.
Yeah.
You know, she's Jamie Lee Curtis or whoever, you know, whoever else you can think of. And I think slasher films were really big at the time this film was made. So I think it's a very clever Trojan horse from James Cameron. So, I really enjoyed it.
Your initial thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that this is such a, like Ollie said, such a not just a quintessential like 1984 film, but a quintessential 80s film. It's got every landmark 80s film. It's got every like 80s film trademark that one would love and one would assume, and it completely fills the 80s era for me. But beyond that, it also establishes James Cameron as a prominent, not just action director, but economical director, in the sense that like he knows how to weave in a tight story about quite a complex and huge concept. It's no easy task, but James Cameron does it so brilliantly. And then obviously we're introduced to one of the most, you know, prominent, arguably one of the most pop culture references of all time, Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's not a tumor. You know, we're introduced to this guy, you know, and I know that this guy had already done quite a lot in the 80s already, but this really cemented him kind of as a prolific actor. I think, in my honest opinion, The Terminator is just up there in terms of pop culture references. And then you also get Linda Hamilton, who plays Sarah Connor, who is another iconic character. And I like to say that, as I wrap up, this was also made 7 years before T2. So you get to see such a drastic difference between both movies and how both mm-hmm. movies kind of are apart from one another. They can like kind of live on their own, you know, world.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Well, Jabria, yeah. what did you think of the film?
Shall we get to our favorite scene?
Yeah. What about you? Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, yeah, I liked it. It's your, like both of you guys said, it's such an 80s film. Mm. And to see such an iconic movie character, I think, well, maybe we can get to this later. It's a little bit our bonus question.
Ew.
But, he's definitely like in the top five most iconic mm. characters ever created, I think.
For sure.
Like in the film universe.
For sure.
And quite arguable, but yeah, and the perfect person to play.
I actually have some behind the scenes
Arnold?
Info here.
Do you guys know that?
So it wasn't written for Arnold because James Cameron and Arnold didn't actually know each other at that point when he was writing the script. But the guy who plays one of the cops, Lance Henriksen, he's the skinny cop. He actually is good friends. He was good friends with, James Cameron, and he shows up in a lot of his films, and he kind of wrote the film with him in mind, but there were a bunch of different, people attached, or like people that they pitched this, or like they offered it to, including Sylvester Stallone and Randy Quaid. Sylvester Stallone, you know, because he's also another big hulking action star from the 80s. But Randy Quaid, I don't know if you guys know who Randy Quaid is, but he's kind of like the crazy dude from Independence Day. You know, the one who's like, I'm back. So not exactly what you think of when you think of the Terminator. But yeah, and Arnold Schwarzenegger, I was reading about it, thought this film was going to be a massive flop. Yeah. He thought it was a real piece of shit. And he thought it was going to kill off whatever acting career he had up until that point. Whereas, in fact, it actually kind of made it. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, damn.
Yeah. And there must be so many stories revolving this kind of iconic film, including like James Cameron's guerrilla filmmaking, which was introduced in big concept filmmaking. So he kind of took that inspiration to have that guerrilla filmmaking in a kind of bigger budget movie. But also this movie was made for like, I don't know, $6 million. And even though you can see it, like Ollie said, it's so economical in the way that it tries to tell its story, and the way it tries to build action and the way it tries to build its sets.
All right. Nice. Yeah. So, how about we move to our favorite scenes and, how about we go with Ollie? How about you start? Kick us off with your favorite
scene. Sure. It's kind of two scenes stuck together, but I really liked everything that kind of happened in the police station. So I loved the... This is a bit of a cheat, so apologies if I'm stepping over anyone else's answer. But I love, like, just the back and forth between the two cops and Kyle Reese. And then also, like, the forensic psychologist, the sort of criminal psychologist. Mm-hmm. I think whoever I think I wrote his name down somewhere, but that actor absolutely killed it. He was so funny. And then leading up to the raid that happens when the Terminator storms into the police station, you know, you have the famous "I'll be back" line. I had never, I never knew that that was the context where he just leaves and then he just comes back with his car and drives it right into the fucking reception, killing the guy at the front desk. It's so, it's like clearly, it's like the funniest part of the movie as well. But then just like him stalking the police station, like just like holding this sort of shotgun in one hand and literally just like blasting people in the face the the moment they cross him in the corridor. Like people are actually like running away from him and he just shoots them in the back and they fly into walls. It's just great stuff.
Yeah, it's got, it's almost got like that kind of, maybe John Woo was inspired by this, but in Hard Boiled, where like everything kind of blows up, everyone's like flying everywhere, there's like materials being like scattered all over, and it's just like kind of this chaotic scene, yet the only thing that's not chaotic about that scene is Arnold Schwarzenegger just plowing down calmly, like through the halls, and like precision, with precision and just deadliness. He's the only one who's like, You know, not fucking jagged and like running everywhere. He's just like walking, shooting. It's goddamn like maniacal killer.
Yeah, and it just shows that like from the very beginning of his career, because I know this was only the second film, I think, that James Cameron made, and it was the first film that he didn't disown. Because I think he made like a Piranhas sequel where he was locked out of the editing room. It was like really shitty quality. But anyway, so he knew ballistics. From like the very beginning, he knew how to stage a shootout. He knew how to shoot, show things going bang, basically. And yeah, it's just kick ass. So yeah, that's my favorite scene.
I had that one up there.
You stole my favorite scene.
Yeah. Oh, wait, did we all pick the same scene?
Yeah, I picked that one.
I also had that one on top, but I'll pick a different one just for variety's sake. I have the Terminator fixing himself in his like little hotel room or apartment or, you know, that space. Just because I think it really reveals the practical element of this film, which is just amazing. I mean, the practical effects are just dope. For 1984, like what they recreated for the arm and the face. And yeah, today's standards, we're thinking, wow, this could be crap with it, but I think it gives it a certain charm and a certain look. And for back then, again, it was kind of like mind bending. And I just love anything that's got to do with like anything like practical elements. So I thought it was great. And it's a nice like practical scene that it's just Arnold showing up his biceps and fucking looking like a badass.
Well, it's funny that that's your favorite scene, Raf, because I think that's probably one of my, like, I think one of the worst scenes in the movie. I get it. I do love the charm, but it's more just like I actually burst out laughing when it was like showing him with his, you know, like mask on, trying to take his eye out. Yeah. And then it just like sort of cuts awkwardly to the real Schwarzenegger standing in front of the mirror.
I love it. So funny. I love it so much. I was like, yes, it doesn't try to hide. It doesn't try to hide.
It was the worst cut I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I was watching that and I burst out laughing as well. It was so funny.
Yeah. Special place in my heart, that one.
Jabria, what about you?
I mean, that was my favorite scene, the police one. Yeah, I can't really
famous.
Think of
very famous. Ones
Yeah, no, there's, I'm just going to have to go with
the
that
classic.
Because I found like a bunch of the other scenes like kind of funny. What else was there?
The classic Bill Paxton scene as well, the beginning where he like puts his arm in his body and there's that like, give me your clothes. Give me all your clothes.
And they're like, fuck you, asshole. And then later he's got that as one of his drop down options for responding to the landlord.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Also, funny enough...
Yeah, fuck you, asshole.
Funny enough, Ollie, you mentioned that you had never heard the line, I'll be back, in its pure form in this, because it's the first time you watch this movie. But also, it's the first time that they say, come with me if you want to live, and it's not you know, the Terminator that says it like we are quite accustomed to, because in T2 he says it, but here it's Kyle Reese who says it. So just a little,
yeah, no, that's, nice, that's
little throw.
I kind of forgot that line was in T2. So when it came up in this, I more recognized it because it's been parodied in so many other films. Like, it's
of
also
course,
in Community as well. Did any of you guys watch Community, the TV series? You know when they have the paintball episode? Yeah. He's like, come with me if you don't want paint on your trousers.
Yeah. But I mean, that's Community, like, references every single, like, pop culture hit.
Yeah,
I guess.
Definitely.
Yeah. But yeah, shall we move to favorite performances?
Let's go.
Who wants to go first?
Well, I feel like whoever's going to go first is probably going to steal everyone's answer. So, Jabril, why don't you go first?
Are we going to go with Arnold?
Ooh, no. I won't.
I have a different one.
Me too.
I have a different one.
But please.
Yeah, I was going to... I'm just going to go with Arnold just because... I don't know. I haven't really seen any... I guess maybe what? RoboCop would be the closest thing to like a cyborg kind of... Oh, wait. There's Blade Runner too. When did Blade Runner come out? 78?
No, Blade Runner came out in 85.
Oh, shit. So after this film. Yeah, so like, I mean, I Arnold did a really good job as like a cyborg, I thought. And really funny the way it worked. Like, I mean, that's the thing. Like, it was hard to take this film seriously. So like, I really wasn't really looking for like amazing knock it out of the park performances. I was just looking for the action, you know, the fun. And yeah, Arnold gave it to me.
Yeah.
Like in the purest way, basically.
In the best possible way, he gave it to you real good.
yeah.
And no, honestly, Arnold established himself as the ultimate kind of almost badass, but also it's like Ollie said as well, he's terrifying and it has that kind of Halloween-esque horror element to it, but also applied the kind of what would you call it the robotic kind of movements, that kind of like staccato-esque kind of like even the way he turns his head is like it's a good performance, a solid
absolutely performance. Cause I think you as an actor would probably appreciate this, Raph. Most actors, because you know Arnold was a bodybuilder before he was an actor, he wasn't classically trained, they'd probably try to put too much of a stamp on it, you know. They'd try to like find the humanity of the character, or they'd want to do something memorable. So they would try and bring too much character to it. Yet he resists that. Yeah. He's good at just sort of being a blank slate because he literally is a machine. And that must be harder to say than to actually do.
Yeah.
Well, I think his body would be something that he's most in control of, just considering that he's like... he was a bodybuilder and they'd have to like pose on stage and do that in front of loads of people. So I don't know anything about Arnold's career as an actor, but I'd say the non-physical part would be the most difficult for him to achieve. I think like him acting like the way he did was like a no-brainer. I thought his movement seemed quite natural. It didn't even seem like disjointed. It looked robotic in a natural way. It's weird. Mm. It's a great documentary. It's a really good. It is from the 70s, so it's a great documentary if you're into working out and things like that. Like it gets you pumped up to want to go to the gym and stuff. I watched it when I was like super into the gym and like when I was 2019.
When you were when you were helping me bulk up.
Yeah, when we were doing intervals in the gym. But yeah, let's not get too carried away. Who are you? Raph, who is your favorite performance?
It's not a tuba. My favorite performance, I'll have to give it to Linda Hamilton. And I would give it to her in the sequel as well. I think she's just brilliant. I know we're not talking about the sequel, but I'm just like, she also deserves it in the sequel. She is the counterbalance to Arnold Schwarzenegger's performance. She gives it the humanity, she gives it the emotion, she gives it, you know, kind of the full range of a layered performance. And it's a perfect balance between who's chasing her, which is this cyborg killer. So to have someone human, vulnerable, complex, that's exactly what you need to counter the Terminator. And she also is kind of a, you know, knows how to survive in her own way and has some standout scenes.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I think she's fantastic in this film. I think I was more familiar with her from T2 because I've seen T2 probably like a dozen times in my life. I loved that film as a teenager. And
probably going to watch it again now that you've watched T1. I'm going to watch it again.
Oh, yeah.
Now that I've watched
T1. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But when they first introduced her in this film, I thought, yeah, she's playing the part well, but that's not Sarah Connor. She's not the Sarah Connor I know. But what's the gift of her performance is that she does, even when she's playing this sort of Cinderella character before she goes to the ball, she's, you know, she's this timid, sort of reserved, quiet, not particularly self-assured woman. I'm like, yeah, that's not Sarah Connor I know, but she puts some of the seeds of who she becomes later. And by the end of the film, you do see that coming out. And so I actually think in retrospect, it was a really good performance.
And to add on to that, there's also, because this is like, you know, the fourth time I watched this film, there's like an added quality of like, is she losing her mind? Because, you know, to grasp this as a human, where there's a cyborg out there, like basically a person that looks like a human that can't die, that can't be killed, and there's another dude that comes out who also says he's from the future. It's like to gather all that information. Like, you can see her psyche kind of like get warped a little, and she's like, am I fucking losing my mind? And obviously in the second, like, that is even more layered, that kind of sanity. But I thought the complexion between receiving all that information in one go is, and then obviously having to survive and, you know, from being hunted. It's just great. It's just great. So layered. So complex.
Yeah.
Speaking of Sarah Connor, did you guys watch that TV show?
Chuck.
During the
No.
No, there was like a Did you say Chuck?
Yeah, Lyndall Hamilton is also in Chuck. But no, yeah, I know which show you're talking about. It's
the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did any of you guys watch it?
No.
I
never watched it either.
I think I started watching it, but yeah. I feel like
it was one of those shows that was on AXN or something.
Yeah. I remember it was on not AXN.
AXN had all the weird kind of crappy American action shows. It had Fear Factor,
Legend of the Seeker.
Yeah, like Young Hercules.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't think, upon like doing a quick investigation, I don't think it was that terrible of a show, to be honest. Like, it didn't get...
It went on
Raph was like,
for a
hey,
while.
You don't no, say
it
don't, that.
It don't, no, it only had two seasons, granted. It only lasted from 2008 to 2009.
Okay. Maybe they
it went on forever.
Couldn't afford any other shows.
I think it went on forever on AXN. They probably replayed it. But it got not... terrible reviews, and like I think the second season got like a lot of praise, but yeah, anyways.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Favorite quote.
I'm gonna go first. We already kind of spoke about this scene, but this made me burst out laughing when the guy was like, hey buddy, you got a dead cat in there or what? And then the Terminator goes through like the list of replies, and he's like, fuck you, asshole.
Fuck you, asshole.
Yeah, sometimes it's just the simple line readings that get you.
Hey, only the 80s had the best lines. I'll give that to the 80s. They had some of the best lines
and the best sex scenes.
Dude, yeah, this sex scene
so silly when it sort of like held on her, the fist clutching the sheets, and then it went into slow motion.
To a lot of people, that's their sexual awakening.
I wonder if James Cameron has ever had sex before.
I don't think he was definitely a virgin at that point.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's very funny.
That was
all right.
So funny.
Boys being Raph. Boys. My favorite quote, also kind of random. Like, I did not expect this to be my favorite. You know, there's a lot of great lines in this, a lot of memorable lines, but this one will go to, let me just get his name real quick, because I have forgotten, but Paul Winfield, who plays Traxler. It's the conversation between him and Lawrence Henriksen. And Paul goes, "How do I look?" And Lance replies, "You kind of look like shit." And then he just replies, "Yo mama." I don't know.
Wait, why does it say that?
I have no idea. I don't know if I'm the only one who caught that or if I imagined it, but I'm pretty sure it's a line in the film.
Did he start the Yo Mama trend?
No.
He might have started the Yo Mama. He just, like, straight up, just, like, imagine someone saying, like, "You look like shit," and the guy is just like, "Yo Mama."
Man, both of them was so funny. Like,
they were great.
Just the stuff that they were saying made me laugh so much. Yeah. Kind of reminded me of, like, some of the stuff from, like, the other guys.
Yeah. Yeah, the original other guys. Yeah.
They're the OG, yeah.
Mine's kind of an exchange. Can I say the whole exchange?
Go on, then.
Yeah.
He's going to give up, like, he's going to a 10-minute scene.
What day is it? The date? 12th. May. Thursday. What year? I love that. It's great because you don't know he's from the future.
Solid.
Yeah.
Honestly, he gives such a what do you call it, such a dramatic performance, that Michael Biehn for Kyle Reese. So he's like, "What are you doing?"
It's kind of terrible, but it makes sense because he's like a virgin from the future. He's like, who just comes from this bleak hellscape where there's like nothing chill going on whatsoever. So he's got no chill.
Dude,
that guy is in panic mode all the time. He comes to our reality and he's like, "What are you?" He's like clenching, you know.
It's like with a fedora and shit, like.
Yeah.
Sarah Connor. Armchair moment.
All right. So yeah. So who wants to take it away with an armchair moment?
I feel like I know what you guys are going to pick for this. It's the scene that I said was the best scene in the film, or my favorite scene. Armchair moment. I think there was definitely a few bits that were a little clunky, and maybe to Ollie's point at the beginning, like, that dragged just a little bit, you know? And maybe an unnecessary sex scene. Like, I'm like, did we need to have that? But it's the 80s, so maybe we did need to have that.
Yeah.
Maybe that was
I think it was probably in the contracts back then.
Yeah, you gotta have a sex scene.
You gotta see your tits. Sorry, guys.
Sorry.
Fuck.
Sorry.
Man, I have a couple of armchair moments, I guess. We haven't mentioned it yet, but I think the endoskeleton looked kind of terrible. I know that it was made, like, you know, in 1984, and he didn't have a big budget, but it just completely took the wind out of the sails at the end, because he's meant to be really threatening and intimidating, yet it looks like something that was made by, like, a Wes Anderson stop motion studio or something. It was like, it didn't look like it could, it did not look nearly as strong as Arnold Schwarzenegger. I was like, I thought you could, like, kick it over, or like a gentle gust of wind might destroy that thing. So I
have you ever seen those, like, Japanese where they dress in, like, black suits and they make it look as if you're, like, jumping in the air?
Yeah.
And stuff. It's like a type of puppetry. That's kind of what it looked like. It looked so frail.
I know. He looked really rickety. Absolutely.
But you guys are talking about when it's literally when they use kind of that stop motion CGI quality, not when they're actually using the, let's say, the full figure practical Terminator. Because there's also scenes where they use that, and I'm like, that looks great.
I think, like, the scenes when it was chasing after them, that was still, I think they had to do that in stop motion, basically, from what I understand.
Yeah. Or when you see him coming out of the fire.
Yeah,
I guess, you know, that there's definitely some, but yeah, I have a hard time giving that my armchair moment, just because, you know, $6 million, 1984. I'm like,
sure, that's a bit harsh. My other armchair moment would have been, I wish they didn't cut to the future. I actually feel like it would have been better if we didn't see what the future looked like. And it was all just in our imaginations. Or you save the future until the very, very end.
Exactly.
Because I just didn't... I don't think they needed to keep cutting back and forth. And it kind of killed the pacing in places.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, I definitely agree with you. There's also, like, one scene from the future where there's a Terminator that just, like, suddenly walks in, starts killing everyone. And I'm like, that was pretty easy. Like, he just... It's pretty easy. They don't have a great defense,
well, I guess
that's
why they need Sarah Connor, why it's really important, because they're getting their asses pwned. It's like when you and me played Overwatch the other day and we were just getting destroyed. It's like, we need Jay.
I think I would piggyback on that armchair moment is revealing less of the future and maybe having at one time, like that one time towards the end to reveal maybe a potential sequel, which kind of happened. It's funny that we say or that you guys gave armchair moments to the practice, to the special effects, because literally the sequel was like groundbreaking in the special effects. So obviously James Cameron learned a lot from doing this film, which is again why I don't give it an armchair moment, because I'm like, without learning from this film, he wouldn't have had the groundbreaking special effects he did for T2.
Yeah. Exactly. And I guess, like, also with the breakthroughs and, like, computer graphics and whatnot, like, it really changed the game for T2 and T3.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I was going to just mention that sex scene in the armchair. Yeah. Like, this unnecessary. Yeah. But, yeah, it's the 80s.
Yeah, it's the 80s. Yeah. What you going to do? They probably did some coke during set as well. Like, what you going to do? It's the 80s.
Yeah. All right, so that leaves us with the bonus question. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
So, for this one, since we're doing the Terminator, I think this has been our most iconic character on this.
What about Jack from Titanic?
This, E.T.
Yeah, E.T.
Yeah.
E.T., Terminator. I don't know. I can't think of any other, like, super iconic characters that we've done on the podcast.
No, I think you're right.
Yeah, E.T., Terminator.
Also, I think
sounds
as of
about
this
right.
episode, is James Cameron now is the director we've done the most?
He's our favorite director, it seems.
It's very
although
possible.
The next episode will have him on par with someone else then.
I think we've done... This will be the third.
No, this will be the fourth James Cameron, because we did a whole James Cameron series.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
A whole, we literally did a masterclass I picked.
The question is, do you think the Terminator as a character is the most iconic character ever? And if not, who do you think is? Or what character do you think is?
Wow. That's a good one.
Iconic, cinematic character?
If you want, you can give, like, a top three. Yeah, cinematic characters. Yeah, give me a top three.
So we're not talking about, like, Jesus Christ or something.
No.
That can be your favorite character, Ollie, if you want.
Oedipus or whatever.
It's everyone's favorite character, I'll have you know.
Jesus, man.
Wow. Raph,
that's
a
good
do you have
one.
An answer off the top of your head,
I have a couple. I think it's hard because we're talking about as well in terms of timeline. The Terminator, 1984. We're in 2004, and that's 40 years of pop culture reference and pop culture icon. Right. I have to give one to the Terminator for sure. There's Yoda. Mother flipping Yoda, you know, and that was even that was like what 19 was he introduced in the first Star Wars shit? No, 1982. Empire Strikes Back.
No, he wasn't. 82, I think.
Yeah. So there's Yoda, but then there's also newer characters like the Joker. Heath Ledger's Joker is gonna probably, you know, be remembered for 100 years. There's it's hard. There's so many iconic characters out of there, like Neo, Harry Potter.
Yeah, it depends on the definition. If you mean iconic by famous, like recognizable, like you go to any country in the world and you show them a picture and you're like, who's this? And they'll know who that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of maybe like, honestly, it might just be something like Mickey Mouse, right?
Oh, shit. You
know, Mickey Mouse has been around.
Yeah,
but, like, well, the OG.
But
the,
is that cinema? Maybe,
well, he was in, he's been in films before, I think.
That is true.
And in terms of
true.
Pop culture,
it's just a brand, really.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But he is the OG. He would be the OG kind of like character that everyone knows.
I think Mickey Mouse is the most recognized brand, if not.
Or like even like, I mean, I could say like Spider-Man or
like you'd
something.
You'd have to put that on par with like Coca-Cola.
Yeah. I could say Spider-Man, but then that's also because of the comics that were around for ages. Or Iron Man.
Yeah.
Like Robert Downey Jr. and Iron Man.
So why don't we reframe it and say what our favorite movie character is?
Oh, God. Jesus.
That's even harder, isn't it?
Okay.
You know, like, what in your cinematic, you know, field, who would you want in your team? In your... No, that's... You're reframing it. No, like, if you were to pick, like, a top three... movie characters that really influenced you.
Let's say each us three, right? We're gonna do a five-a-side tournament. We're playing in the football team, and we have to pick four other characters to play football with us.
And you're not allowed to pick James Milner.
We're fighting. What's going on?
Is this...
No, it's a football. It's a five-a-side football game. Yeah, and we have to pick four other characters to play with us.
Okay,
that's brilliant.
Spider-Man. Linda Hamilton. Sarah Connor. Sylvester Stallone. What's it? Because he's in that
Rocky.
Yeah, he's in that football movie where they're playing football in the Nazi war. Like
they're playing football with the Nazis.
Yeah, this was a movie. This was a movie where they're prisoners of war in like a Nazi.
Okay,
boot camp.
so you're picking. You're picking that character.
Sure.
Rocky.
I don't really know about the football league. Oh, Nuno Santos from... what is it? From...
From Goal?
And I think that's it. Yeah. I think that's four. Okay. Yeah. That's my answer.
Okay.
All right, that's your team. Right. Okay. We've got Ollie's team. What do we have, Jabril? Who's yours?
I'm going to go with... Anakin Skywalker.
Nice.
I'll go with Indiana Jones.
Oh, good choice.
You
can just whip that ball.
Forrest Gump.
Dude, he's fast.
He's fast,
you know?
Yeah.
He's fast and he has some sporting pedigree.
So you've got a winger.
And I need a last one.
Oh, Hodor. He could be your goalkeeper.
Hodor. No, it's not cinema. This is a TV show.
Oh, it's got to be cinema.
No.
It's got
to
be
the
cinema.
Last one is going to have to be fucking Elastigirl. The Elastic Lady.
Elastigirl. Oh, great show. Nice.
All of them.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
it's
the
not
entire
the Invincibles.
Family.
It's the
Incredibles.
The whole family would be great, actually, on football squad.
That's absolutely
okay,
true.
Raf, who are you taking?
Yo, I'm gonna go with my boy Yoda first and foremost. He has the Force, motherfuckers. Although you have a Jedi as well in your team. Damn. Okay. So Yoda. I'll pick Harry Potter because he's a wizard.
Well, I've got a Sith.
He can probably do some like weird shit with his wand.
That's weird. Play Quidditch.
It's like, what are you doing to that ball, Harry? I'll pick Aragorn because I love him, and I'll pick Neo.
Although Aragorn might have an injury because he broke his toe kicking that.
Yeah,
that helmet. Dude, he's out for like 6 months. Metatarsal foot injury.
Yeah, true. He's quite injury prone, that guy, actually. I'm gonna switch it up, and
Wolverine,
go with...
he never gets injured. He's so
dude. Fucking
it's not
Wolverine.
Not like Lissandro Martinez out for another 8 weeks. Fucking hell.
Yeah, there we go. That's my choice.
All right.
Couple wizards, couple mutants.
That was a fun bonus question.
Yeah, that was really fun. Yeah. We should do that for all the bonus
stupid
questions.
We should try and put it on, every time. football, five aside. All right, so all that's left is ratings. So what y'all going to rate this?
I'm going to stick to my original rating, just because of the influential power that this movie still holds today and what it paved to create for the cinematic kind of field. I'm going to give it a 10.
Ooh.
A 10 cyborg eyes out of 10.
Nice.
Yeah.
I will give it 8 out of 10 technoirs, because that was the name of the club, Technoir. And this is a Technoir
That's
film.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was a really nice touch. Yeah. Also, sorry, if this is the last thing I say on the movie, just quickly before we go to Jabril, I had a fun fact. In Poland, this film was retitled The Electronic Murderer, which I think is great.
The Electronic Murderer.
That's so funny. All right, I'm gonna rate this a 8. One of those like really cool Hondas, like Vespa things that.
Oh yeah, the mopeds.
Oh wait, was this from this film?
Yeah, that really cool.
Yeah, the moped.
The
right?
Really
it
cool
was
moped
Sarah Connor's
she drives.
Moped, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Shit, I thought it was from the other film. Yeah, 8 out of 10. One of those mopeds because they were awesome.
Dude, they gotta bring
up,
those
like,
back.
Try to search it online. They don't make them anymore. Yeah, they're Hondas. Just FYI. Thanks for listening to this episode. I'm sorry if it's a little bit disjointed. We're doing it remotely again, and it was a little bit difficult. We spent like an hour trying to set it up. We couldn't even see Ollie's beautiful face.
Still can't.
But yeah, just before we go, don't forget to like, share, subscribe, comment, give us a 5-star rating. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your boss, tell your bus driver. Catch you on the next one. The next film is AI, Artificial Intelligence by Steven Spielberg. Catch you on the flippity flop and bye-bye for now.
It's not a tumor.